You're listening to Dallas High, Health and Image, where we bring you amazing interviews with premier pre-screened doctors and experts. Hello and welcome. You're listening to Dallas High. I'm your host, Stephanie, and today we are talking about one of my favorite topics, the law of attraction. I'm talking with Wendy Dillard. She is a law of attraction expert and coach in the Dallas area, and she specializes in helping people to make that shift to become a happier person and to get those things in life that they really want. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stephanie.
How are you doing today?
Great, and I'm really excited about talking about this because this is my favorite topic as well.
Good, good. So we're going to talk about what the law of attraction is. We're really just going to kind of give a good introduction on it so you can understand it better. We're going to talk about, you know, why it's a real universal law and then even discuss some stories. So, Wendy, how did you discover law of attraction?
Well, law of attraction actually found me. And the reason I say that is because law of attraction is a matching mechanism where like things attract to like things. And at a specific time in my life, back in 2008, I was looking to feel better, to be happier, and to have a more satisfying life. And I kind of remembered somebody a long time ago sharing some information with me about something, but I didn't remember what it was. So I started Googling. Mm-hmm. And as I Googled, I stumbled upon exactly what I was looking for, and it was law of attraction. So really, law of attraction found me. Mm-hmm. I was looking for it. It was looking for me, and we connected.
Gotcha. So the law of attraction, it's real. It's not whether you believe in it or you don't. It's just like law of gravity. If you don't believe in law of gravity, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. If you drop a pin, it's going to fall on the floor.
Exactly. And, you know, that's one of the things I love to talk about with law of attraction. You don't have to believe in it.
Right.
You don't even have to know it exists. But it knows you exist, and it just operates just like law of gravity.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and just explain law of attraction for everyone in your best words.
Okay. So it's kind of a complicated subject, and a lot of people, I think, sometimes misrepresent it, thinking it's a get-rich-quick scheme, mm-hmm. or it's the newest, latest fad in personal development. But that's really not the case. It's a law of physics, just like law of gravity, like you said. It's based on a vibrational principle. And so let me see if I can do this briefly without it getting overly ridiculously complicated. So we have a thought. And a thought calls for a feeling. In other words, every time we have a thought, we have a feeling about whatever we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And that thought and feeling generate a vibration. It's an energy. And just like our entire body is filled with electrical impulses, we are a conduit for electricity beyond just the electricity that we know with a light switch. And so every time we have a thought, we have a feeling. Every time we have a feeling, there's a vibration associated with it. And every feeling slash vibration is actually a sound wave or actually an energy wave, maybe is a better way of saying it. Mm-hmm. And it invisibly goes out into the atmosphere, just like our cell phone towers send and emit, you know, mm-hmm. waves that we don't see, but we know they exist because our cell phone rings and we receive texts.
Right.
Well, in a similar fashion, we broadcast these vibrational waves out into the universe, and whatever is in your vicinity that matches that vibrational essence is what you get paired up with. Mm-hmm. And so that's how certain people, places, things, situations actually come into our experience. It's because of the thoughts and the feelings we're emitting.
Right.
So is that too complicated, or did that make
sense? No, that's perfect. So basically, if you are feeling good and you're thinking good thoughts, what you put out is what comes back, right?
True. But okay. Here's where a lot of people, even if they've just heard about law of attraction, don't really understand some of the nitty-gritty. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we are emitting vibrational impulses into the universe that we're not aware of, mm-hmm. that are not something that's like in our everyday thought process that we have awareness of.
Right.
But yet, it's going out there. So we have thoughts and feelings that are actually happening within us, but we aren't aware or stopped being aware. Mm-hmm. And yet, they're still going out into the universe, and we're getting something back. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, we get something back we don't like, and then we have all sorts of, you know, angst over it.
Right.
And we think something's not working. But, you know, the cool thing about Law of Attraction, it works 24/7, and it brings to us everything that we are emitting.
Right.
And oftentimes, if you don't know what you're emitting, we just pay attention to what's happening in our lives.
Right.
If there's a circumstance we're not happy with, well, it didn't just happen coincidentally. It didn't happen because of karma. It didn't happen because you're a bad person. It happened because you're actually vibrating something on that same frequency.
Gotcha. So that's kind of like when a bill comes in and you say, oh, another bill, or you're kind of negative about it, you're attracting more bills. Is that possible?
Yeah, you could say that. One of the things that, for me, recently, I've been really understanding at a greater level with Law of Attraction is that if we don't take such a negative, if we don't have such a negative response to things, things can change for us so quickly.
Yeah.
So quickly. And so I like to look at everything that occurs is here because we've created it, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're stuck with it. It means that it was kind of a bouncing off point for us to, like I like to say, pivot in the direction of what we do desire. So can you think of an example, Stephanie, in your life of something maybe you've not been thrilled with that has shown up, and let's see what we can do with that.
Goodness,
I know,
putting me on the spot. You know, I would say there was a time that I wasn't super happy with the job that I was in. And, you know, I complained about it all the time, and it seemed to get worse and worse. And the second that I, because see, I discovered Law of Attraction quite a couple of years ago. And when I started applying it and just started changing my outlook, it was very simple. I didn't go into, you know, really deeply into Law of Attraction. I just started changing the words that I was saying. And, you know, and I was like looking at things more positively. And the second I did, that job went away because a new owner came in and he let go a lot of the staff. And so I went on to do something that I was so much happier with. But it was just funny because it was like, I don't know if complaining was keeping me there and making it worse. I don't know. But yes, that would be my thing that I would say that I wasn't happy with.
So one of the ways that I feel like we can, in a sense, prove, that might be too strong of a word, but we can find the evidence that Law of Attraction is working in our life and how it's working on our life is by circumstances like what you just expressed. So if I were to just kind of do a mini diagnosis of what you talked about, I would say during the time that you were complaining and you were just feeling negative about the job that you had, you were bringing to you more unhappiness about the job that you had.
Right.
But at a certain point, you kind of had some kind of an epiphany or a new awareness that caused you to think differently. And what's so cool about Law of Attraction is in the moment you think differently, Law of Attraction brings you something different.
Right.
And so obviously you started to feel, or I can say this, because of you receiving a job that now you were enjoying to a greater extent, it meant that you had changed your thoughts and feelings about your job. Therefore, it was sending out a different vibration.
Right.
And it brought back something to you that you liked.
Right.
Now, a question that I get quite often when I'm talking with people or clients, they'll say, well, you know, I can't control everything going on. Well, there's some truth to that. And when you really get into the nuts and bolts of the Law of Attraction, you come to realize that law of attraction is organizing and orchestrating things that are so beyond our cognitive ability to understand mm-hmm. on a level that is so huge that there is a synchronicity that occurs when we just let go and stop trying to control.
Yeah.
And what happens is the things we truly desire have the ability to make our way into our experience because we're no longer pushing against it.
Right.
And every time we want anything, law of attraction knows exactly what we want and knows how to deliver it. And the only thing that keeps us from actually receiving it is our resistant thoughts mm-hmm. or our negativity to the reception of it. So in other words, if there's something you truly want, like you really wish that, you know, your family would throw you a surprise birthday party because mm-hmm. you've never had one before. If you stay focused on, well, I've never had one, no one ever thinks
yeah,
of me,
right.
you know, it's just never going to happen.
You're attracting more of that, right?
Yeah, I promise you, it's your next birthday. You're not going to get a surprise.
Right.
But if you begin to let go of that negativity and go, well, you know, it's possible,
yeah.
and I know it would be really fun,
mm-hmm.
and my husband and family, they really love me, and so it's possible. And then if you just kind of let go of it.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10,
yeah.
the surprise birthday party will show up, and you'll be surprised because
yes.
you will have forgotten about it.
Wendy, that is so huge because the letting go thing, that's something I've experienced in my life. It seems like whenever I'm in a difficult situation and I stop myself and I'm like, I need to change my outlook on this, and I will, you know, and I'll think of some positive things about, you know, why the situation isn't as bad as I'm making it, and then I'll just let it go, and then it seems very quickly things turn around.
Absolutely, and it happens every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, when I started working with Law of Attraction, you know, and let me say this, you can't make Law of Attraction do anything.
Right.
It does its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I like to say about it is that there are a set of principles, just like gravity has principles, just like outer space has principles.
Mm-hmm.
Law of Attraction has principles, and when you understand them, you can get in alignment with them instead of working against them.
Yeah.
And I would say in the last couple of years of my life, my life has catapulted in such a positive direction
mm-hmm.
because I had been adopting law of attraction principles into my understanding and then became my belief system to such an extent that now anything that of a negative nature that shows up in my life seems to turn around. Sometimes in minutes, sometimes 24 hours, sometimes it takes
wow.
2 weeks. Depends on the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
And really it depends on my resistance to
right.
not getting the outcome, but my resistance that I'm holding on to because of the thing I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But I have such a joyous life. And I'll tell you this, years ago I heard someone in Law of Attraction saying, if you would just prioritize happiness,
mm-hmm.
everything you want will come your way
yeah.
with ease.
Right.
And I remember going, happiness? Are you kidding? That's so trite. That just seems like such a you've got to be kidding
yeah.
concept. So as time went on, you know, I'm working with Law of Attraction principles, and I'm starting to feel like I'm able to manifest things in a much easier way. And then all of a sudden one day it dawned on me, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy a lot.
Yeah.
I went, oh, my gosh, that must have been what they were talking about, that because at the time, I wasn't prioritizing happiness
mm-hmm.
because happiness was not my key word.
Right.
I was prioritizing not being frustrated.
Right.
I was prioritizing not being disappointed or angry or any of those other negative words. I
yeah.
wasn't really focused on the positive. I was focused on having the anti-negative.
Right. Yes, I've been there.
But what I didn't realize is I didn't have a word yet in my life for what it would feel like because it wasn't what my normal mm-hmm. experience was.
Yeah.
And now I can say it really was happiness.
Right.
And now I own happiness as mine, and it really is a working noun in mm-hmm. my life because I know what it is. And now I really do prioritize happiness. And so I'll just say by way of an example, I have had so many experiences with different vendors, whether it's the bill, telephone company, mm-hmm. or my cell phone company, or you know my electric company, or whomever. And dealing with customer service for years for me was an issue. Mm-hmm. I always felt misunderstood, not heard, and whatever the problem was that I was calling about, it just felt so complicated to get unraveled. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that is the very thing that caused me the most angst in my life has turned out to be the most valuable learning tool I could have ever had. Because from one call after the next to the next, I started learning things about myself. Mm-hmm. And when my father passed away a number of years ago, and my mother is still alive, I had to take over the bills for her because that was outside of her skill set. Mm-hmm. And there was one of her vendors that month after month I had to call because they kept getting the bill wrong. 18 months in a row.
Oh, wow.
I had to call and get this one $7.95 credit because they kept billing me for something that we weren't getting. And in the beginning, I was livid. But then when I would be on hold for an hour and a half
to
various different people, I thought I wanted to kill somebody. I was so angry.
Right.
Because I kept thinking, how much time of mine are they wasting?
Yeah.
Over $7.95, but I had this principle that I wasn't willing to pay that.
Right.
So month after month, and I want to say it was maybe into 4 months of this, I remember saying to myself, really, Wendy? Are you willing to allow a $7.95 thing cause you this much anxiety and pain and frustration? Mm-hmm. Because once I got off the phone, Stephanie, I was angry for another 2 hours.
Right.
And then I called people and told them about this what I called the stupid idiots that I was working with.
Yeah.
Of course, I extended the amount of time of my own discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to look at that, and I went, I'm creating this. The person I'm talking to on the phone in customer service, they move on to the next person when they hang up with me. I'm just part of the day's job for them.
Right.
I'm creating this uncomfort. I'm creating this unhappiness. And so once I kind of got that awareness, I went into like month 5 with a slightly better attitude. The call was a little bit less in time. It might have only been 30 minutes. They still didn't rectify it. I was only a little perturbed. Then months 6, 7, and 8, it was getting better. By months 9 and 10, I was saying to the people, you know it's not you because you're so friendly and kind. I know you want to do the right thing by me. Mind you, that's a completely different tone of voice, a completely mm-hmm. different attitude than what I had in the beginning.
Right.
And I'd say, I know you're really trying, but your systems just aren't allowing you to help me in the way that will help resolve this. And they did everything they could. And finally, about months 10 and 11, I'd went, you know what, I give up. If I have to call them every single month, I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. And what I would do is while they put me on hold, I would just do other things. I'd play solitaire at my computer, but I did things that I noticed made me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 month, the bill was right.
Oh, wow.
And I went, how did that happen? And I started looking back at the 18 months prior, and I went, there has been this incredible progression of how I've shifted my thoughts mm-hmm. and my feelings,
mm-hmm.
which meant the broadcast signal that I was sending out was changing each month.
Right.
Until I got to a point, and I must have because of the result, that no longer was I holding anybody responsible for my anger or my resentment, and I let go of it all. And I felt happy despite of being charged $7.95 each month.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the point that I just felt perpetually happy, I got the ultimate happy.
Right.
I stopped being mischarged.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's always been that feeling good, like you said, is priority. So whatever it is that you need to do to feel good, whether it's going and watching a comedy and laughing or spending some time with your family, that's important to put happiness as a priority, and then everything else will kind of come into place. And so how can people, kind of what you did, how can they build happiness, you know, other than just like what I just mentioned? Like, are there any tips that you have?
Well, I would say the absolute bedrock of utilizing the principles of law of attraction is getting familiar with how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I am shocked sometimes at when I take on new clients and I'll ask them just a simple question, well, when you had that thought, how did you feel? And they go blank. They have no idea.
Yeah.
Because what I found is most of the time we've not really been taught how to feel in conjunction with a certain way of thinking. We may know, yeah, I feel great, or, oh, I'm really pissed. But
yeah,
that's in reaction to something.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have found is the more I have become really able to really lock into what I feel in any given moment, that helps me dramatically begin to shift the thinking. Because when I know how I feel, then I can ask some better questions like, well, what am I thinking that causes me to feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
Is that thought even true? What would happen if I adjust that thought? So I would say the number one thing that anybody would want to do to actually have a happier life is to get in touch with how they feel.
Gotcha. So when you're feeling negative, to recognize that.
Yeah, and it's amazing how, like when I was describing the frustration, disappointment, when I was talking to vendors,
mm-hmm.
I felt that every single day on such a habitual level, I didn't know that there was any other way to live.
Right.
I remember being in therapy about 20 years ago, and I remember saying specifically to my therapist, I probably experience frustration or disappointment a minimum of 17 times a day. Don't know why I came up with that number, but mm-hmm. it felt right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that was kind of the habitual feeling I lived within, and therefore that was the vibrational signal I was sending out.
Yeah.
And so I was getting back tons of frustration and disappointment
yeah.
on a regular basis.
Right.
Tons. And when I began to shift that, realizing I am the creator of all that comes into my world,
mm-hmm.
I began to take responsibility for how I was feeling by really challenging the thoughts I was thinking, are they even true? And or do I want to keep holding on to this thought or this way of thinking?
Yeah. You know, I've been a much happier person too, I have to say, since discovering law of attraction myself. One of my very close family friends, I looked to him as a mentor. You know, he always told me, the more you complain, because I was like that. I would get frustrated at every tiny little thing. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And he was like, the more you complain, the more you send that out, the more you have to be frustrated about. You know, just, you need to let it go. You need to just let things wash over you. And you need to focus on just being happy and just focusing on you, not everything else in the world that's ticking you off. And I'm telling you, it does change your life.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I do as a coach is I help people identify where they're maybe stuck and not realizing that
mm-hmm.
they're stuck in a certain thought pattern. Because lots of times the thoughts we're thinking are what I call transparent.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you look through a window but there's a screen there, you don't really focus on or notice the screen, but the screen is there. And then if you remove the screen, you'll notice, whoa! There's such great clarity that I didn't even realize the screen was there before. So in that way, that's what I help my clients do,
yeah.
is help identify what those transparent habitual thoughts are. Because if we look at them and examine them, oftentimes just the examination of that thought allows it to dissipate. It's so easy to go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I've been thinking that since I was a kid, but that's not even true anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
the moment
yeah.
you recognize it's not even true anymore, it falls away, which immediately changes the vibration that you're broadcasting into the universe.
Right. And I think you're right, like about with the kid, like since you were a kid thinking something, because like when I was a kid, my parents, you know, it was money doesn't grow on trees. We don't have money for that. You know, a bill would come in and they were like, oh, how are we going to pay this bill? You know, so I grew up with that same thought pattern. And it took me a while to just be like, no, that's not how it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, sometimes it's a little tricky. Sometimes there's a thought that feels so real
mm-hmm.
that it's like, you know, and I've been through this many times where the thought feels so real, I'm not really comfortable just saying, okay, I'm going to let go of that thought.
Yeah.
Because it does feel real. And so
right.
sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to kind of wriggle it around a little bit by asking it questions from different points of view mm-hmm. to kind of let it break loose.
Yeah.
And then once it does, you know, what I like to say is once you have a real liberating thought that feels really good, the other things fall away.
Right.
It just takes, sometimes it takes some effort to get there, and other times it takes almost nothing.
Right.
You know, people don't need a coach to use Law of Attraction. However, if you want to kind of move faster, mm-hmm. or if you don't feel like you know how to move it, then
yeah.
a coach is the best way to kind of get things in motion.
Yeah.
You know,
I've
had clients that they'll come to me going, I don't know what to do. And within 6 sessions, which to me, after being in therapy for 4 years, I think 6 sessions is really short.
Right.
They're often flying on their own. They're like, got it.
Yeah.
And they're living a life where they feel hopeful because they know what to do and how to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And each event that comes into their life really just presents another opportunity for personal growth and for expansion. And what I like to think of as fun in seeing how you can actually manipulate your life circumstances to turn into what you want it to be.
Right. So do you have any stories that you could share, maybe from past clients, just how they worked with Law of Attraction and it helped them? I actually have one of my own.
Okay, well, you do. Go with that.
Okay, so we'll start with this. This was before I discovered Law of Attraction, which I discovered it through the book The Secret, which I think has actually opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people who didn't know about it before. But so this was way before that. I was a teenager. So I was 16 years old, and I got my first car, and it was, you know, it was nice when I got it, but over the years, it became quite the junker. And I was going on like 22 years old, so I had this car for quite some time, and it was terrible. So I said, I really want a new car. I attracted a new car, so let me just tell you how I did it. So all the time, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get a beautiful SUV, and I'm going to love it. And I would, when I would get in my car, this sounds so funny, but I would picture that I was driving this brand new SUV. I don't know why I did that, but I was always so positive about it. And I was like, I'm going to have a new car very soon. And within a couple of months, I went to a dealership. Now, I didn't have good credit. I had terrible credit because when I was 18, I went and racked up a bunch of credit cards. So like my credit was terrible. I worked a job where I didn't make very much money. I didn't have a co-signer or anything like that. And I figured they would say, oh, you're going to need a co-signer. And I went in and I drove a new SUV off the parking lot within like 2 hours. And I look back and I'm like, how did I do that? Like my credit was terrible. I didn't make very much money. Like I didn't have a co-signer. And I swear to you, it was the universe like bringing that to me because I had matched that vibration, so to speak. And it's just so funny because now looking back, I know that's what it was. But back then I was like, it's a miracle, you know? So.
Well, you know, that reminds me, I had a somewhat similar car story.
Mm-hmm.
A number of years ago, I can't even remember the reason why, but my mother-in-law gave me and my husband her car because she wanted to buy a new one. And it was only like a 2-year-old Taurus. I was thrilled because mm-hmm. it was newer than the car I had. And it was paid off. So it was the first time in my life I had a really nice car and I had no car payments. So I got to tell you, once you have no car payments,
oh, yeah.
you kind of never want to experience it again, the
right.
payment thing, because it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after a couple years of having that car thinking, I never want payments again. I never want car payments again. I love being free of having no car payments. So that was my focus. So something happened where all of a sudden my husband and I are in the car and we get in a car accident and someone rear-ends us. It's his fault, the other guy's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in that moment, I'm feeling sad because I'm like, oh, no, this car that was a gift
yeah.
is now totally, it's totaled.
Yeah.
But I knew it was time to get a new car. And so when it was time to find one, you know, my husband said, what do you want? And I went, you're going to think I'm nuts. I don't even know why I'm saying this. I want a Jaguar. He went, you've never even said that word in my presence and you want a Jaguar? I said, I do. And he said, why? I said, I don't know. There's something regal about it. It makes me feel like if I were driving a Jaguar, like I feel really good. And I said, you know, I have a two-story house and my media room overlooks my driveway. And I said, I love to just stare out the window and see that Jaguar. It would just, I don't know, somehow I could breathe deeply and elevate my sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay. So we go out looking for cars, and I knew that, you know, we were only getting like $5,000 or something like that from the insurance company. And remember, I have this belief now, I never want a car payment again. I love
right.
the freedom of no car payments. And so I said, well, whatever we get, we have to be able to afford without me having to, like, get a loan, because I don't ever want car payments again. He said, there's no way you're going to get a Jaguar
yeah.
with only $5,000. It's just not going to happen. And I said, oh, it'll happen. I know it will. Because I said, I'm a great creator. And at this point, I was a little further in my law of attraction journey, and so I had built up a lot of sense of, if I focus on something with great intensity, I know it is mine.
Mm-hmm.
So we got all these different parking lots or used car dealers and whatnot, and we're looking at different luxury vehicles. And he'd go, hey, come look at this. And I'm like, no, come look at this. And at the end of the day, he said, did you realize that every time I was trying to show you this BMW or this Lexus, you kept dragging me off to something else, and it was always a Jaguar? And I said, really? He goes, what is it about the Jaguar you like again? I said, again, this is going to be so silly, but I really like the kitty emblem. It has this thing called a leaper, which is like this Jaguar cat in the front of the car. And I'm mm-hmm. like, there's something about it that really turns me on. I think it's fun. And he's like, this is not why people buy cars. I said, but this is why I buy cars.
Yeah.
Silly things that make me happy. So anyway, we've done all the shopping we think we can do. And he's like, you're not going to find it without having to put in money. And I said, well, whatever it is, it has to be with what I can afford and no car payments. And I said, I'm going to go online. I'm a good online shopper. And so little did I know, there were wholesale luxury car dealerships. And so I found this car that I went, ooh, this looks good. So we head out to go check it out. I fall in love with it. And the price tag was $9,950. It looked like a car that had barely been driven. And I said, one of my other little things is I said, I want to buy a car that's older so the price will be low, but that maybe like an older couple drove it and they kept it in the garage,
mm-hmm.
and then they decided to sell it when the warranty went out. And I promise you, that's almost exactly what this car was.
Yeah.
It looked totally spotless. It looked brand new. It had 63,000 miles on it, and it was 6 years old.
Wow.
Long story short, that was the car that came home and lived with me.
Wow.
And I didn't know how I was even going to come up with the other almost $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, and I was only allowed to hold it, the dealership would only let you hold it for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
I sweet-talked them into holding it for 14 days till my next paycheck came.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid cash for that car.
So no payment.
No payments. And honestly, I don't even know, because I used my next paycheck and some money for my savings. I don't even know what happened to my bills that month, because they didn't go in arrears.
Right.
I have no idea. But it all just kind of worked out.
And this was a Jaguar.
And I'm driving a Jaguar.
Wow.
Today. And everybody in my block is like, whoa, look at you. You must have gotten some big promotion. And what's hysterical is this comment in particular comes from my neighbor right behind me, who had just spent $65,000 on this brand new SUV, and he souped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I paid one-sixth
yeah.
of what he paid. And he thinks I'm the one who has some high and mighty something because of the perception of what
right.
a Jaguar has.
Oh, yeah.
And truly, that perception, that feeling is what I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
But not to impress others. It was to impress me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does. And even today, when I drive my car, every time I'm out on the road, I feel really good
mm-hmm.
that I created that.
It is a great feeling. It's such a great feeling. Like, because that's how I was with my car. Like, I remember going to my parents' house, and they were like, how did you get that? You know, and I was like, I honestly don't even know. And then, and now looking back, it's like, I know that that's what it was. When you just are set on something and you're positive, I mean, you will attract it. I've done it.
And so you and I have just talked about the things that we're aware of, the things that we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you there were hundreds and thousands of things on a level
right.
where the strings were being pulled, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
where things were orchestrated for all of the desires to be met.
Yeah.
Because all of those different feelings that I had and beliefs and not wanting to have a car payment and it had to be something where it didn't break a bank and I wanted to feel good, Law of Attraction was aware of all of those aspects.
Yeah.
And pulled it together in a way. And it was even ironic that I found it online mm-hmm. because I love shopping online.
Yeah.
My ex-husband loved shopping in car dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
That was not my thing. Those always made me feel like, somebody wants
right.
to haggle with me.
Yeah.
I love shopping online. So I even found it by shopping online.
Right.
So there was so much synchronicity that truly, if you were to have asked me, could I have planned that out? No. I
right.
couldn't have planned that. I'm so grateful that Law of Attraction has my back.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think of Law of Attraction as the universal manager.
Yeah.
And I can delegate, and we all can. We can delegate things to our universal manager. It's like set it and forget it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like, you truly can have anything you want. It's definitely not impossible. Like, there's a lot of books. Like, what are some of your favorite books on the topic?
I'd say probably my favorite is by Abraham Hicks, and it's just called The Law of Attraction.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
They also have another one called Ask and It Is Given.
Mm-hmm. I have both of those.
You know, years ago, and this was probably back in early 90s, I read a book by an author that's no longer with us. What was it called? Something like Make No More Excuses. It had the word excuses in the title.
Mm-hmm.
But she talked about Law of Attraction without using that phrase because that was not a trending phrase. But
gotcha.
I found it interesting that I was attracted to that book.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of talked about the unforeseen results by thinking in certain strategic ways about what it is that you wanted.
Right.
And that probably got me going. In other words, that probably was one of my foundational things years ago before I really knew what was coming to me.
Yeah.
But I think I've always known I've wanted more. I'd love to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've let go of having to be in control of other people and other things. I'm now only in control of me and my reaction to things.
Right.
And you know what? That's a full-time job.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So what can people do? What would you say people can do, like, if there is something that they're wanting and to change in their life, or there's something they're wanting to attract, what would you give them advice or tips for them to do besides changing their thinking?
I was about to say change your thinking, and I was going to give some examples. However, by throwing out that caveat, I would say, if it wasn't just a matter of deliberately changing your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
I would say change your environment where you're not feeling at your best.
Gotcha.
So, like, for instance, I recognized in my life that I really was tired of getting off work of my day job and then becoming a couch potato at night because I was so brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I don't want this anymore. I want to feel good. I want to feel vital. I want to feel alive. I have a lot of hours left in my evening if I would only use them more productively.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking those thoughts, and I noticed what happened was I just started automatically change my environment. So instead of landing in my living room in front of the big TV, I actually decided to go to a different room, and I read a book. Or I decided to get in the car and go run some errands. And I noticed yesterday I was on a cloud before I went to bed because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, I had just spent 6 of the most productive hours doing – I even got in a nap. How many people get to take a nap these days? That's a luxury. I had a nap. I did some reading. Then I took a shower. Then I went and ate. And then I went and ran some errands. And then I came home and I did a little bit of exercising. And then it was time to go to bed. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Normally, I'm lucky if I get all that stuff done in 2 weekends.
Yeah.
You know, and I went, how did I do that? And I went, I started thinking a new thought.
Mm-hmm.
And by thinking the new thought, it shifted my environment.
Right.
Now, if you don't know how to think a new thought, shifting your environment deliberately will also do the same thing. It doesn't matter what sequence you do it in. Mm-hmm. If you move to a new environment, it will change your thinking.
Gotcha.
So if you're hanging around with a bunch of people, like if you're at a day job and you notice that you just don't feel good around a certain group of people, if you can go have lunch with somebody different, that's changing your environment.
Right.
If you're at home and you know that you feel really ugh when you're sitting at your desk, but you've got to do some work on your laptop, take your laptop maybe to Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Changing it to a new space will absolutely make a difference.
So, for example, if someone is, you know, they're stuck in a job that they're not making very much money and the bills are coming in every month and they're barely paying the bills and they're stressed out and they're just very unhappy, what could they do to kind of help that situation? Because I think that's something that we hear a lot of, is that people, they want more money.
Right. Well, because I'm in the thought business, mm-hmm. everything I do has to do with switching your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that a person in that scenario, and yes, I have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there for many years. Do whatever they can to find what I'll call the next best feeling thought.
Okay.
Like, what's a thought that they could reach for that makes them feel a little bit better than where they are right now?
So even if it's not about money, they're just pulling for a thought that feels good.
Absolutely. And that's the cool thing, like when I get into the details of how law of attraction principles work,
mm-hmm.
is you don't even have to be on the same topic.
Gotcha.
The feeling vibration is your broadcast.
Gotcha.
So if you're broadcasting, I'm in debt, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I'm screwed, life sucks,
mm-hmm.
you may get more of those things and they may have nothing to do with money.
Right. So what would you think? What would you, like, if this was you, what would you change your thoughts to? Instead of, I'm in debt, I'm sad, I can't pay these bills.
I'm going to call one of my friends who always talks in a way that makes me feel good, someone who encourages me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what, it's summertime, I'm just going to go take a swim.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who has a pool. I'm going to call them up and say, hey, can I come over and have a swim?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that makes you feel better,
yeah.
and gets you out of the environment and the thoughts
yeah.
that are dragging you down.
Right.
Go somewhere else. Maybe, you know, the last weekend, I remember remarking to a friend, I spent all day Sunday reading for pleasure.
Yeah.
It wasn't for work. I didn't have to. And it was a pretty technical book. It was. You know, it took a lot of effort to really get through all the topics, but, oh, my God, it felt so good to read. And after 3 hours, I'm like, okay, let's do something else. So I did something else for about an hour, and I'm like, I want to go back and read.
Mm-hmm.
And I just followed the inner impulse
yeah.
to do the thing that made me feel good. And mm-hmm. see, that's something most of us have not been trained to do, is to follow the inner impulse to do something that makes us feel good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us live by shoulds. And what has to be an obligation. And it doesn't mean that I don't have obligations in my life, but I have shifted their place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've shifted how I think about them.
Right.
Obviously, if I have a day job, there's an obligation to show up and go to work every day.
Right, right.
And that used to really bum me out.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to feel bad going to this job
yeah.
where I was expected to perform, and I'm like, what? How else can I think about this in a way that will make me feel good? And I started going, well, there are certain things I do really enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and I do notice that if I pick up the phone and call a coworker instead of emailing them, that makes me feel better.
Yeah,
because I love the connection.
Right.
Email sometimes feels a little too dry.
Mm-hmm.
Or even sometimes I'll IM them because it'll be like a live chat. That feels better than an email where you have to wait and wait and wait
yeah,
to respond.
Right.
And so even though that's really little in a shift, it was big in shifting how I felt.
Right.
Which meant I'm now broadcasting a much better signal. And after, I mean, there have been days that I'll pick up the phone and I'll call someone at work that literally allows me to just feel like I'm gliding for the next 24 hours because that conversation just felt so alive to me.
Yeah.
The connection was so good. Even though we were talking about business systems, it didn't matter that because that's how much I love people connection. Now, that may not work for someone else, but one of the key things that I think is so cool is if you truly want something, if you ask a quality question, you'll get a quality response. And what I mean by that is if you just don't know what to do, sometimes just saying, what do I do next to feel better is all that's necessary.
Yeah.
And if you stay focused on, I want to feel better, what can I do or think or whatever next, law of attraction will respond.
Yeah.
Right now it said 16 seconds. Is all that's required, that if you focus on one subject for 16 seconds, that's not very long, law of attraction will actually bring you another thought of a like kind. And so it's kind of like once you've done your first 16 seconds, law of attraction brings you the next thought, and then if you can hold on to that for another 16 seconds, you'll get more. And when you've done that four times in a row, it takes on an exponential quality.
Yeah.
Where it's not like 1 plus 1 plus 1 anymore. Now the multiplication factor goes into place.
Yeah.
And that's why when I'm talking about sometimes I can just have one phone call with a coworker.
Yeah.
If we're just having fun in the conversation, and let's say we talk for 30 minutes, we had fun for 30 minutes.
Right.
And the law of attraction goes, whoa, Wendy loves fun. Let's give her more of that feeling.
Yeah.
And that's why I ride the wave of feeling good for another 24 hours.
And, you know, I think one of the things, too, that shifts, well, this worked for me, is gratitude. So, like, when the bills come in, instead of feeling like, oh, how am I going to pay this, just being grateful that you have electricity or you have that phone. And then when you pay the bills, even if, you know, it takes all of your paycheck, you're just grateful that you have the money to pay them. I feel like that changes your thoughts. And then before you know it, you're out of the situation.
And I'm going to throw be devil's advocate for a moment. If somebody is in the same situation that you just described, and when they use their last dollar to pay the electric bill, instead of being grateful that at least they had the money to pay the electric bill, they're angry because that took their last dollar. And then they go into lack, which is, well, now what? And how am I going to pay the next bill? Or how am I going to eat tomorrow? And if the person shifts into that, then they actually put themselves into experiencing more lack.
Right.
So, which is, you know, obviously the opposite of gratitude. But when you can come from a perspective of be grateful for all the positives that you have, it will manifest more positive.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest shifts for me, was just being grateful for things. So instead of stressing about things, I would just be like, you know, it's going to come. The money will come for it. It's going to be fine. You know, and I wouldn't stress. I literally would just say, I'm not stressing about this. And it never fails. The money would come and I would pay the bill and I would be grateful. And, you know, things always work out. The universe definitely has your back.
And for the person hearing this that listens to your story and goes, well, I tried that and it didn't work for me, then that's the person who needs to get a distraction from what's holding them in the environment of feeling negative.
Yeah.
That's the person that needs to go step outside, put their feet in the grass, take a walk, call a friend, you know, or do something that makes them feel good, or rent a video. Or watch something that makes them laugh. Watch go to a comedy club. Do something that gets them out of that negative cycle to break, to begin to break the momentum of that negativity.
Yeah. Well, and going, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, going back, we just did that again, Wendy. We both said, go ahead.
I know. So I'm deferring to you. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Okay. So going back to like my car situation, never once when I was driving around the car that was getting really old and just falling apart, never once did I complain about it or say, oh, this, I can't wait to get rid of this. You know, never once was I negative. I was always positive. I'm grateful that I had the car, and I was like, I just know something better is coming, but I was never negative about that car one time.
And I would say that is probably how you were able to manifest the car that you wanted with so much ease.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that's not typical.
Gotcha.
And maybe it's because I'm a coach, and so I get people who their life isn't working.
Right, right.
But people that I'm talking to most of the time, that's not how their experience is. They're in the car that they go, it's crappy, it's a beater, I can't wait till I can get rid of this stupid thing.
Yeah.
And that takes a whole lot more effort to shift them into a more positive place where you already were in the positive place, so it was kind of easy for the universe to manifest a new car to you.
Right.
Even if it appeared like a miracle, you did such a miraculous job of maintaining your own vibration that the new car was kind of like a done deal.
Right, right.
You know, where somebody who's not in that place, the new car is waiting for them because the universe knows exactly what they want. But that's where I say they're in their own way because they're holding thoughts of resistance, holding points of attraction that are actually blocking them or blocking the universe from allowing all these synchronistic things to show up. Now, let me say that differently. Those synchronistic things are always there, but we can't see them.
Right.
It's like we're literally blinded. So, an example, have you ever looked for something that you thought was lost?
Yes.
Well, as long as you're looking for something with the belief that it's lost, you cannot find it.
Gotcha.
But here's a fun example I heard from somebody else. They were looking for a lost pen, and they looked through every purse, they looked through every desk, they looked through every place they could think of that their favorite pen could be, and they couldn't find it until days and weeks went by, and eventually they said, I forget it, I guess it's gone, I'll never find this pen.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day, she was thinking about this little perfume bottle that she had, and she's like, oh, I want to get that, I think it's in this purse. So she goes and she reaches her hand in the purse, and sure enough, she pulls out the pen.
Yeah.
And she's like, but I've looked in this purse, I don't know how many times, how did I not find it?
Yes.
Well, here's the cool thing about law of attraction. Law of attraction is like, we know you want your pen, but you're so busy resisting it because you think it's lost, that we'll do something, we'll get you there.
Yeah.
And so there was like no sense of the perfume bottle was lost because she felt certain she knew exactly where it was.
Right.
Now, I believe law of attraction put the thought in her head to want to look for that perfume bottle because law of attraction knew the pen was in the same place.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like the synchronicity is already lined up for us.
Yeah.
But when we hold a vibration of it's lost, then even if our hand reaches in and touches the pen, we won't recognize it as the pen, and we'll keep going and go, it's not there.
Right.
And the moment we let go of that resistance or are in a different environmental vibrational space, such as I'm not thinking about the lost pen, I've given up on it, who cares anymore, and now that woman was able to receive the impulse to go look for a perfume bottle.
Right.
But law of attraction knew in advance, that's where the pen is.
Yeah.
And now we can give her the pen because she really wants it.
Right.
And so the law of attraction is always orchestrating on our behalf, and we're the only ones who can get on our way or align with it and move in a direction that makes life flow easily.
Right. Right.
Feel good.
Wendy, I want to thank you so much for coming on this show today. I feel like we just barely scratched the surface on this topic. We have so much more to talk about. So definitely look for more interviews coming on. Thank you again so much, Wendy, for coming on today.
It was a blast. Thank you for having me.
Of course. But again, look for more interviews on this topic because we will be back with Wendy and just how this can completely transform your life. So if you love this interview, be sure to let us know. Share it with your friends. If you have interest in working with Wendy, be sure to reach out to her. Until next time, thank you for listening.